In this section in Ephesians chapter 2, we have been talking about peace. Peace with God. And this has been the major theme in this section of Ephesians chapter 2. And we have said that peace is not just the cessation of hostility. We don't look at peace simply from a negative perspective. When we talk about peace, it is more than just hostilities being brought to an end. You know as well as I do that in a home where there has been some hostility between the two parents, if the hostility stops, that doesn't necessarily mean that there is peace. Because very often when the hostility stops, all that means is the two parties don't talk to each other anymore. And that's not peace. You know that as well as I do. I had the privilege, I guess you would say it was the privilege of being in Vietnam when it was announced that the United States would begin withdrawing its troops from Vietnam. And of course, at that time, a great deal of the hostility within the country was brought to a close. But that certainly didn't mean that peace was brought to the countryside. And the reason that peace was not brought to the countryside in this particular instance was that friendship was not established between the two sides. And so peace means a lot more than the cessation of hostilities. It means the establishing of friendship, of real friendship. And I think that's one of the things that Paul is driving at in our text this morning. When he speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he speaks of the Holy Spirit, and he speaks of the Father. For through him, we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. You'll notice that this is a great Trinitarian confession that Paul brings before us in Ephesians 2:18. He speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that through him we have access to the Father. And it is only through Christ. It is one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And in this one Spirit, again, that we have access to the Father. And to whom do we have access? It is the Father. Praise be unto God, it is the Father. Glance back at verse 16 in Ephesians 2, where Paul speaks about the fact that Christ might reconcile them both in one body to God. In verse 16, the apostle speaks about God, and this is theologically correct. Here is the Holy One, the one who is high and lifted up. And when we speak in theology, we speak about God. But now in verse 18, we have the family setting. We have something much more intimate. Through him, that is, through Christ, we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. To the Father. And Paul is bringing us to the Father in this text. And he is very clear, is he not? There is only one way to the Father. For through him, that is, through Christ, we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. Be there no mistake about it, friends. Although some will say, oh yes, there are many ways, many paths, many doorways to the Father. Though some will say we are coming by many different ways, we are all going to the same place. Let's get it straight. There is only one way to the Father. Only one way. Through him. Through Jesus Christ. Turn with me back to the Gospel of John, if you would, to John chapter 14 and verse 6. Here Jesus is very plain in John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to him, John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. It is only Jesus who is the way to the Father. And if you are attempting to come to the Father in any other way, you are on the wrong path. Only Jesus is the way. No one comes to the Father, Jesus said, but through me. You know, sometimes when we make statements like this and are pretty dogmatic, and I'll be dogmatic on this point, when we make statements like this, people will say, "Oh, you're too narrow, and the church is too narrow. Why are you so narrow? Why are you Reformed Presbyterians so narrow?" And a lot of people have said that. Well, I'll tell you what, folks. I am going to be just as narrow as the Bible is narrow. There is no other way to God the Father except through Jesus. On this issue of narrowness, which is the same issue that we're talking about, turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew. And look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus is quite amazing here in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus says, in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it." Yes, folks, let's be narrow, and let's not be ashamed of the fact that we are sometimes called narrow. Let's be as narrow as the Scriptures are and pronounce without hesitation that there is only one way to come before God, and that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way. The way is narrow, and we must say it. And we must pronounce it. And we must urge people, as Jesus Himself urged people, to come by the narrow way. Because the wide path, folks, leads to destruction. And this is exactly what Paul is talking about when he says, "For through Him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father." Through Him, through the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus likens Himself to the Good Shepherd, and He says, "I am the door to the sheepfold. He who enters by me shall find pasture." We must enter by the door of Jesus, and only by the door of Jesus. Let me ask you this morning, have you entered by the door of Jesus? Have you come into God's kingdom by the door of Jesus? There is no other way. How is it that you enter by this narrow gate or by this door of Jesus? You must turn away from sin, and you must trust Jesus Christ as the one who paid the penalty due to you for your sins. This is how you enter by the door of Jesus. Through Him, we have our access by one Spirit to the Father. Young people, Where are you this morning? Are you trusting Jesus? Are you turning away from sin? How about you older folks? Where are you this morning? Are you taking too much for granted the fact that, oh, I come to church every Lord's Day and I've done it for the past 40 years? Is that what you're depending upon? No. It is only Jesus Christ who is the way. You must trust in this Jesus. He is the way. And what else does Paul say? For through Him we both have our access in one Spirit. In the Spirit we have our access to the Father. This term, in the Spirit or in one Spirit, means that you are united to the Holy Spirit of God. Notice that the apostle is talking about one Spirit. There is only one Spirit by whom you may gain access to the Father. There may be other spirits present in the world, but I want to tell you something. It is only the Holy Spirit who will give you a new heart and give to you the gift of faith so that you may approach God the Father. To be in the Spirit means that the Spirit is in you and you are in the Spirit. This means that you are born again, that you are born from above, that you have a new heart. Praise God. This is what He does. What a good thing it is. And because the Holy Spirit is in you, your eyes are opened and you see God for who He is. And you see Jesus Christ for who He is. Tremendous work of the Spirit. And then Paul goes on. For through Him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. To the Father. Again, it's of no small consequence, friends, that Paul speaks of the Father. Formerly, you see, you were out of fellowship with the Father. Look at verses 11 and 12 with me, if you would. Therefore, remember that formerly, you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Without God, without hope. Enemies of God. That's the story. That's the way things were formerly. You know, it's like kids who are in rebellion against their parents. And you watch those kids and they do everything they can to tenaciously stand against the authority of their parents. And when their parents say yes, they say no. I remember one of my brothers in the 60s when he came home and his hair was down, you know, on his shoulders, and my dad was so upset he could hardly stand it, and he took the guy down to the barber shop and had all of his hair cut off. And I'm telling you, there was just, it was like a juggernaut between the two of them. And you just look at that situation and shake your head, because there's just that fierce hostility between the two. Well, what Paul is driving at is simply this. He's saying, you know, He's saying, we were like that. We were like rebellious kids. And every time God said, I'd like you to go here, Denny, we said, no, I'm not going to do it. But then everything changed. God granted His Holy Spirit. forgiveness of sin came. And we were led by Christ into the presence of the Father. Through Him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. What a thing it is. Notice again the text. For through Him we both have our access, Paul says, to the Father. Paul is talking about coming into the presence of the Father. And he uses this term access. Usually when we see that word, we think of an opening through which we can walk, a doorway. And Jesus says, I am the door. And so we think of a doorway through which we can walk into the presence of God. But the word carries with it a great deal more. I'd like you to turn back with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. The first couple of verses in Romans chapter 5. If you have the New American Standard Version, in this particular instance, you have the better translation of the particular word, I think. Paul says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained our introduction. The King James Version and the New International Version again use the word access. Through whom we have obtained our access. Our introduction, the New American Standard Version says. Our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. Now we can translate the word in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18 the same way. Introduction. And I think that really is the better translation. Because when there is an introduction, something happens. You just don't walk into a room. Something takes place. And the picture that the Apostle Paul is attempting to give us here is something like this. It's the introduction of an individual to a king. And you might picture a courtroom. And standing by the door is a gentleman who's dressed up in fancy garb, and this gentleman has a staff in his hand. And as you approach the door, this gentleman may a couple of times thump his staff on the floor, and he'll make an introduction, and he'll say, Mr. and Mrs. John Wilkie. And they'll step into the room and be introduced in this fashion. This is the kind of thing that Paul is talking about. But it's even more intimate than this, than a simple introduction into a room. I'd like you to turn to another text to grasp the significance, if you would. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, For Christ also died for sins, once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that He might bring us to God. Now that word which is translated bring is the verb form of the same word we're talking about, introduction, that He might introduce us to God. That He might bring us to God. And the amazing thing here is that the picture is something like this. That Jesus Christ comes and He takes you by the hand. And He brings you into the throne room or the courtroom of God. And He says to God the Father, God the Father, here are Quentin and Irina. These are your children. Quentin and Irina, here is your father. And the two are brought together in this intimate fashion, introduced in this way. Paul says in Ephesians 2:18, "For through him we both have our introduction in one Spirit to the Father." And at this point, what is taking place? A friendship is being formed. That's what's taking place. Where before individuals were enemies of God, now through this introduction by the Lord Jesus Christ, a friendship is being formed. Look again, if you would, at Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11. We read from Exodus 33 a little bit ago, and verse 11. It's an amazing text. Speaking about God and Moses. In Exodus 33:11, it says, "Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks with his friend." It's hard for us to conceive that God would come to an individual and speak to that individual as a man speaks with his friend. But this is the kind of thing that Jesus is introducing us to. He is taking us by the hand and bringing us into the presence of God, and introducing us to the Father, so that the Father will speak to us face to face as a person speaks with his friend. And this is what peace is all about, isn't it? Really? Because when the hostilities are over and the friendship is formed, we are on speaking terms with one another. And we ought to be on speaking terms with one another. It's not a good thing. Say what you please when an individual skirts around someone else and desires not to talk with that person. We can't say that there's real friendship and there's real peace. And it's the same between us and God. When there is friendship with God and when there is peace with God, we are on speaking terms with Him. And we talk to Him. I find myself during the day quite often saying, "Lord, help me with this situation. How am I going to handle this? What's happening here, Lord?" And just being on speaking terms with the Lord, with God Himself, with my Father. That's what friendship is all about. And you folks need to be on speaking terms with the Father. I'd like you to notice something else here in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. It says, "For through him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father." It's that little word, both. When Paul speaks of both in this particular context, he's speaking about Jew and Gentile. In verse 17, it says, "And he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near." He spoke to the Gentiles who were far off. He spoke to the Jews who were near, near to the Word of God. And he says, "For through him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father." In other words, there's no difference between Jew and Gentile as far as access to the Father is concerned. We both have our access in the same way. And the application ought to be clear. There's not a one of us in this room that is better than another. I'm not better than you are, and you're not better than I am. Before the living God, we are all the same. And we all have our access through Christ to the Father. And so, when we come together, none of us has a better position than another. When I attended the chapel services at West Point as a cadet, I remember very keenly that in the very front row of the cadet chapel, there was a place which was designated with bronze plaques for the commanding general. And no one else would ever dare sit in those places in the chapel. No other officer or no other cadet. Those were designated special places for the commanding officer. It's not so before the living God. There's not one individual that has a better position than another. We all have the same access through Christ to the Father. And so when we look at one another, we neither need to look up or look down. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ, and the same before God, with the same access into the very throne room of God. You know that I'm fond of asking you where you stand as we come to the conclusion of a message like this. And this morning's no exception. Where do you stand? Give yourself a little examination. Be honest. Do you have introduction through Christ into the presence of God the Father? How can you tell? Well, it's very simple once again. Is the hostility between you and God broken down? Is it? Are you on speaking terms with God? Is He your friend? Are you His friend? Is that the way it is in your life? Then Jesus Christ has introduced you to the Father. There's glory in that, folks. There's real glory in that. To be able to say with assurance, through Him, through Christ, I have access in one Spirit to the Father. We can only bow in joy and adoration if that is truly the case.